Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks to us in your word. Father, as we sit under your word this morning, help us to put aside all things that distract us, to put aside all those things in the world, in our lives, who are calling out to take our attention away from you. Lord, help us to listen and learn from your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might engage in the mission that he has called us to take part in. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you need? Not what do you want? Not what would you like? What do you need? What is the thing that you think about and go, that's what I need? That's what's essential for life. That's the most important thing. Now, most people here, I would assume, are Christians. So Jesus, I imagine, is pretty high up on that list of needs. But of course, we live in a world where Jesus is not very high up on the agenda, where there's a great many needs, some less necessary than others, that take pride of place, that people set their hearts after, they set their minds on. But there's also a lot of confusion, because at the end of the day, a lot of the people in our world, in our society, they don't really know what they need. They want a lot of things. They want that house and that job and that holiday. But what do they really need? Who knows? Who knows what they really need? In fact, advertising executives have noticed this problem so much that rather than catering advertising to answer needs that people already think they have, they promote advertising that makes new needs. They convince you first, this product, this service, you need this, you want this. And then they answer that need that they created with one of their products. Well, it's nothing that man can come up with that our world really needs. No invented needs are going to hit that something deep in our hearts that needs to be filled. And in this morning's passage, we see Jesus seeing a real need. And we see that Jesus feels a real need. And we see what Jesus does about that need. Jesus sees the need. Jesus feels the need. And Jesus responds to that need. Let's have a closer look at our passage this morning, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. My translation might be a little different to yours, but I trust that you'll still be able to follow along. So first, the scene is set in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, what we have here is really a summary of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Matthew up until this point. And it actually pairs with a very similar summary back in chapter 4 of Matthew, where we read that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So three things: teaching, proclaiming, healing. And we see these in the Gospel of Matthew leading up to our passage this morning. In chapters 5 to 7, you have the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus teaching. And at the end of the sermon, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And in chapter 4 of Matthew, we see Jesus proclaiming. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And right before our passage this morning, earlier in chapter 9, we see Jesus healing. In fact, just in chapter 9 alone, we see Jesus heal a paralyzed man, a synagogue leader's daughter, a woman with a bleeding sickness, two blind men, and a man possessed by a demon. Teaching, proclaiming, and healing. That's what Jesus has been doing. What do these all have in common? They all point us to our greatest need. They all point us to Jesus. They all tell us something about who this Jesus is. He's the one who teaches with the authority of God. He's the one who heals with the power of God. And he's the one who proclaims the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Every part of Jesus' ministry shows us who he is, because knowing Jesus, Jesus the Lord, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour, the Son of God, knowing Jesus is what we need. It's what you need. It's what the world around us needs, even if they don't know it. So Jesus, he's been going around his ministry of making himself known. And in verse 36 of our passage, we get an insight into what Jesus thought about all this. Have a look with me at verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is the need that Jesus saw. Now, I don't know how familiar you all are with sheep, but they're not really very impressive animals, are they? They're not that strong. They're not that fast. They're not the fiercest, and they are not the most intelligent. In fact, even compared to a lot of other livestock, they're pretty hopeless. And they do taste good as well. Yeah. And they need a lot of help and protection for that same reason. Sheep, especially harassed and helpless sheep, lost sheep, they need someone to lead them, someone to guide them, someone to protect them. They need a shepherd. Because without a shepherd, sheep really don't know what they're doing. Well, they think they know what they're doing. Well, I'm just eating grass and then I'm making sure that I'm going where all the other sheep are going. Which is all well and good until you realize that all the other sheep are just following all the other sheep. And every now and then they're wandering around in circles, everyone following everyone else, which they're known to do from time to time. Without a shepherd, they don't have a direction. They're harassed and they're helpless. They're defenseless. They're vulnerable to attack from predators. Now, in the case of the crowds of Galilee that Jesus saw, they were supposed to have shepherds. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the priests, they were supposed to be shepherding them. But it turns out that they were less shepherds, and if I can mix the metaphor, more wolves in shepherd's clothing. What they needed was rescuing by a good shepherd. But they were only being fleeced. They needed a good shepherd. They needed Jesus. And Jesus saw their need. But the crowds in Galilee 2,000 years ago, they're not the only people in the world like lost sheep, are they? Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, I think that's as true a description of a lot of people in our world today as it was for the crowds back in Galilee. The world around us needs to know Jesus. And we need to see that need as well. Do you see the need of a lost world, of lost people, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd? Because they're all around us. They're in our streets. They're in our towns. They're in our cities. They're across Australia. They're around the world. Lost sheep scattered from every tribe and nation, people and tongue. Jesus saw the crowds. He recognized that they were harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd. He saw their need. Do you see that need? But of course, Jesus didn't just see the need, did he? He also felt the need. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Compassion. And compassion here is not a trite word. It's not a small feeling or an empty sentiment. Oh, those poor things. No, it's strong. It's visceral. The Bible has a number of different words that our English Bibles translate as compassion. And the word translated compassion here is a particularly strong one. It literally means to be moved in your guts. It's a literal gut reaction. It's a deep physical feeling of concern, pity, sympathy, love. It's closely related to an attitude of mercy. And what it signals is a desire to come alongside those who are suffering. It's a compassion that moves you. It drives you to action. You can't ignore it. It demands a response. Jesus sees the crowds. He sees they're harassed and they're helpless. And it moves him. If you were to translate it into an Australian turn of phrase, you might be able to say that he was gutted. He sees lost, scattered sheep. And it just hits him in the guts. Jesus felt their need. Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus felt the need. We need to feel the need. Because it's only when you both see the need and you feel the need that you're actually going to be moved to do anything. Because we can tell ourselves again and again, oh yeah, I know that people are lost. I know I should evangelize. I know I should share the gospel. But if it's just something we know we don't feel, then we're never going to do it, are we? We're just going to guilt trip ourselves. You're only having a heart for mission. You'll only have a heart for mission when the need that's out there becomes something that you know in here. We need to have compassion on the lost. Compassion enough to show the compassion of Jesus to reach out to a dying world with the good news that there is life and hope and purpose in him. Consider where you'd be if you didn't know Jesus. Consider who you were when you didn't know him. Where would you be now if you'd never met him? Where would you be without your shepherd? You'd be harassed and helpless, lost and perishing, without hope in the world, wandering around in circles until you die. But now, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been rescued by a good shepherd if you do know him. And how did you come to know him? How did you hear about Jesus? Did you just wake up one morning, never having heard the word Jesus in your life, and go, of course, I get it. I'm a sinner and Jesus lived a perfect life and he died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins and he rose from the dead and I need to put my faith in him. Now, God can work miracles, but chances are you didn't just have those thoughts out of the blue. Somebody told you about him. Somebody had compassion on you enough to share the good, compassionate news about Jesus so that you could know him too. Someone, or maybe many someones, maybe over many years, introduced you to Jesus, your shepherd. Told you the good news. They proclaimed it to you. They helped you understand it. Who are the people God used in your own life to bring you to Jesus? To meet your greatest need? Who are the workers, the laborers in the harvest field that God used to introduce himself to you? Because if we've benefited from Jesus' compassion, if we've benefited from the laborers in the harvest field that he sent to us out of his love for us, that pointed us to our shepherd, then won't we have compassion on those lost sheep who haven't heard yet? Romans 9 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's not enough to just see the need. We need to feel the need. Which leads us to verse 37. Have a look with me. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We're switching agricultural metaphors here from sheep to crops. The crowds, they're now presented like a field ripe for the harvest. Heads of grain ready to be gathered into the barns of God's kingdom. Of people ready for salvation, but the laborers are few. Jesus sees the crowds. He has compassion on them. He sees they're ready to be brought into the kingdom, but the workers are few. For all the crowds that Jesus encountered, for all those that he healed and taught and who he proclaimed the good news to, there were still so many who hadn't met him. There are still so many who haven't met him. Crowds from every tribe and nation and people and tongue. Multitudes and multitudes who need to know Jesus. Not just in Galilee, but in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus did have some workers. In fact, he commissions 12 of them in the very next chapter. But 12 isn't enough. Jesus saw the need. He felt that need. But how to respond to this need? Verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. God is the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. It's his fields. It's his barns. Who hires workers? Who sends them out? The Lord of the harvest. You need to hire more workers? Then you talk to the boss about it. So what do? When we see the need and we feel the need, the need for more workers to tell people about Jesus, what do? We pray. We pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. We pray to God to raise up more workers, to send out more workers, to equip and to strengthen and to uphold more laborers. Because from the sowing of seeds to the reaping of the crops to the bringing into the barn, it's God's mission, God's work, and in every part of it, we depend on him. And so what can we hope to achieve if we don't rely on him in prayer? We must pray to the Lord of the harvest. Ask the one who sends. Please send out more workers into your harvest field. And praise be to God, this is a prayer that he loves to answer. Now, who will God send into the harvest? He sends out 12 disciples in the very next chapter. Interestingly enough, immediately after he tells them, ask the Lord to send out more workers. He sends them out. Sometimes we can find ourselves the ones sent. Maybe you're someone here who thinks, I can be a laborer in the harvest field. But maybe you're thinking, well, I don't think I could go, because I don't think that's an option for me. Does that mean close your heart off to mission? I'm not one of those laborers, so, you know, they can deal with it and I'll just go on living my life. Well, no, because you're still a disciple of Jesus. And you can still pray to the Lord. And you can still tell the people you meet day to day about him. And even if you can't go yourself out into the mission field across Australia, around the world, you can still partner with those who do, with those who can go, supporting them through encouragement, through prayer, financially, whatever way it is. But whatever way it is, however you can partner with mission, even if you can go yourself as a laborer, you never move beyond prayer. Praying is always the first step. You don't graduate from prayer. So if you see the need of a lost world, if you feel that need, then how do you respond to that need? Pray. You pray to the Lord of the harvest. Please, Lord, raise up more workers for your harvest field. Jesus saw the need. He felt that need. And he told us how we can respond to that need. See the lost sheep out there. Have compassion on them. Feel their need. And pray that the Lord will raise up more workers to bring to them what they really need. The compassion, the salvation of Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often we are distracted by so many things, real needs and needs that are imagined. But Lord, we are reminded in your word today that whatever other things are vying for our attention, what people need the most important need for all of us, for everyone, is to know you, to know you in your Son. Heavenly Father, help us to see the need for mission, to reach a lost world with the good news of your Son. Help us to have compassion on those who are lost. And Lord, help us to always be people of prayer, praying to you, Lord, as we pray now. Please, Lord, send out more laborers into the harvest field. Send out more workers so that every person everywhere can hear the good news of Jesus, that your lost sheep might come to know him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.